What do the TSA and park rangers have in common? Well, they both consider us special when it comes to ham radio. Tonight, we're going to share with you some of our firsthand experiences with ham radio antennas, traveling, and help the Park Service understand we don't need a special use permit to activate this week on Live Free and Ham Podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Live Free and Ham Podcast. It's our bi-weekly show. We explore ham radio topics in New Hampshire, New England, and in the world. Whether you're a regular listener or a first-time guest, we're excited to have you here, and we appreciate your support. And thanks for tuning into this week's episode. So let's get going here. I'm going to start into the show today. I'm the host, one of the hosts. My name's Eric, call sign N1JUR, and my co-hosts are...
Yep. My name is Ryan, W1SNH.
And I'm Todd, W1STJ.
All right. Well, hey, before the show, we always like to kind of catch folks up and let our listeners know what's going on, where they can find the Live Free and Ham community. As always, we have every month, we'll be hosting a live stream on our YouTube channel. We'll update all of our socials and the website as we get close. But that date varies from time to time. So if you subscribe to our YouTube channel, you'll always be sure to be notified when we're live, and you can always be part of the action. And just two big dates coming up. In August, 25th, 26th is the Northeast Ham Exposition. It's a big ham expo in the Northeast here. As the website says, it's the Northeast Premier Amateur Radio Convention. I know I'll be there, and a few of us, the rest of us will probably be in and out. If you happen to see us, come by, say hello. We'll be carrying stickers and some swag. So definitely give us a shout out, and hope to see you guys there. The last thing is a big event in October. We're going to be doing a live stream to NearFest. Those that know what NearFest is, it's a great event that happens twice a year. Big Ham Fest in New Hampshire. We'll have more details to come, who we'll have on as guests, and we'll be doing a lot of giveaways during that event. So stay tuned for that. But to get back to kind of us here, what's been going on in your world and related to ham radio? How about you, Ryan?
Yeah, so recently one of our club members had announced he had secured all 50 states with POTA. Ooh. So that got me thinking, all right, which ones am I missing? Because I know I don't have all 50 yet. So I got a little spreadsheet going, and it looks like I need Colorado, North Dakota. Surprisingly, I need Maine and Rhode Island.
Oh.
Washington State and Virginia.
Yes.
Well, all the other ones. I do have Hawaii. I do have Alaska.
Ah. How do you do this?
I don't know. But
I don't think there's any hams in North Dakota, because I can't get North Dakota. I've never even heard anyone in North Dakota.
Yep.
Well, I hate to say that I do have a North Dakota. I do have a Maine. I have a Vermont. But my other problem is that dreaded Hawaii and that dreaded, what was the other one? Oh, DC. I can't get the wild card for the life of me. I don't know how, why.
I have 1,000 DC. Every time a DC comes up, I send it to you. I go, hey, DC is on. Trust me, 5-9. Get on them.
Short of me going to activate at a park to hopefully cross my fingers, get it. That's the only way it's going to happen, I guess. So anyway, sorry to take your thunder. So you're working WAS.
Yep. And it's all been sideband. So I'm not doing FT8.
Oh, wow. So that's impressive. Yeah. I think I have a mix there. So how about you, Todd? Same thing.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention. I just have a mix, but I do need Alaska, Hawaii, and North Dakota. Now, I've worked doing POTA, being an activator. I've worked Alaska. I just can't work them as a hunter. I just never hear the guys that I was here. I never hear them. So maybe when I put my DX commander up, maybe I'll have a little bit more luck with a vertical antenna, and maybe I'll be able to reach them. But if not, I'm just going to have to go over to Ryan's shack and hunt them.
You can borrow the beam.
Yeah. Hey, Ryan, can I borrow the beam? Anyway, I'm Todd, W1STJ, and let's see what I've been doing. Well, I just want to do a shout-out to Yaesu Customer Service. They were awesome. They fixed my DX10. It was under warranty. Simplest process ever. You don't even have to call them. I called them, but they told me don't bother calling. Just send it back with a note. I wrote up a note, got a About a week later, I got an email saying, oh, we got your note. It's under warranty. You're all set. We'll send it back when it's done. And a week after that, I got a thing saying FedEx had delivered it. So 2-week turnaround. Awesome. So nice. Good job, Yaesu.
Very cool. Yeah,
that's cool. So for the our audience, they currently were watching each other, the admins here on we have a video feed here. Two out of the three participants of this podcast have a certain brand name hat on, which I am not wearing. But I'd be curious to hear from our esteemed colleagues here how the latest radio is working in the shack.
Well, and so let me just segue into that one, saying if Todd does have to work Alaska and Hawaii, my advice, Ryan, is maybe if you had a Flex, he could just, you know, easily share your login and you know, work the rights from your beam from the comfort of his living room. But, you know, right. That is an option, you know, for sure. So but as Ryan alluded, you know, we have made the transition, packed up the DX10 per se, tucked it away for a little bit. And now I'm drinking the Flex Aid, as they say. So I'm bulking up. Eating a lot of powder and, you know, enjoying the software-defined radio space. Got a little bumps here and there, but, you know, it's kind of, as I was telling Bill and a few other guys that are Flex guys, is it's a transition. If you're used to knobs and, you know, adjustments and seeing everything on a display in a radio format, going to the software side is, yeah, it's a little bit of a change. So, you know, you have to kind of just wipe the slate clean and start fresh and then, you know, experience it all, you know, your love of ham radio all over again, as they say. So, yep. Yeah, I made that leap and, you know, so that's how much more I could say.
And what I can say is I love it. It's like driving a car, standard or automatic. You know, you get in the car, you just drive, right? I've kind of gotten used to now the Flex. I still doing the physical knobs. I do miss that sometimes, but as a radio and what I've been able to do now that I've been able to do much more radio than I was before, because a lot of times I've been working a lot, baseball, and then when I'm working these overnights, I can access it from my iPad, and it's been awesome. I've been working Australia and New Zealand like it's no tomorrow, and it's actually getting boring. Like, I'm looking for someone else. Like, can someone from Africa call out or something? Like, I get these Australian guys all the time, but it's been awesome. And I did work, when we were talking about POTA, I did work back in June. I worked a New Zealand park FT8. So that was pretty cool to get that on my POTA stats when it says, you know, all the different areas that have a New Zealand on there. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I would love if there was a way to, like, maybe there is. I just knew so green behind the ears with this whole Flex thing, is that to share, like I could grant you access to my Flex and you could do that, because there's a bunch of New Zealand contacts. I'm tired of hunting New Zealand because that's all I get in Africa. You know, I could tell you how many, I pull up my log and I probably have like 14 Africa contacts. I'm so tired of, you know, working Africa. But like everything I can't hear, I'm sure if I hopped on yours, I'd be like, oh, cool. You know, I could pick up half of the other, you know, country that I'm missing all the time. And you know, it'd be a win-win.
So basically, Ryan, you need to share the wealth, get a Flex so we can all use your beam.
I know, right?
Especially when you're away. We'll just to send you a text. We're on your beam right now. Thanks.
we'll you know, put a GoFundMe for the power amplifier, and you know, we'll be in golden. So hey, you know, and you know, maybe our permanent shacks. I might just move the Flex there.
You know. You never know.
Well, you know what was good though is before Eric got his, I gave him my login thing so he could at least play around with it. And shortly after, you ordered it before got the login.
After the second time of the login, yes.
Yeah, right. So he got to play with my radio a little bit, so that was kind of cool. Yeah. So it's definitely it's a cool radio. It's so far for me, I haven't had any problems. It's very reliable. I've only had to reset it once, and I don't know what happened. It wasn't receiving anything, so I just looked it up. It said reset it. I turned it off, turned it on, and everything was back to normal. So
yeah, the only problem I've been having with it so far, and they've been helpful, super helpful on the help desk, which is, I'm totally amazed, is trying to get my you know, Presonus, you know, DAW working with, you know, the microphone on the PC and the headset. I can't get audio to transmit for the life of me. I can plug in the mic and the mic works 100%, no problem. But if I try to use any of the PC interface, it just is not passing the audio through, and I'm not sending any power out. So, you know, the other option is to do what you do, Todd, is basically just put a separate headset and mic and, you know, be done with it. But
cool.
Sweet. All right. Well, hey, so as we alluded to in the very beginning, this one's going to be a little bit of the TSA / Park Ranger episode. You know, we've kind of touched upon in past, you know, talking about POTA Go boxes and some of our POTA experiences in the past, you know, how we've always run into some scenario where, and we'll kind of play out like this, you know, we go to the, you know, we get ready to do a prep for, you know, an activation in a, you know, another state or whatever, and we're getting ready to fly. And, you know, we always go through the TSA after, you know, we know all of the things we need to be in compliance with, and somehow we get flagged. And, you know, what do you do with that stuff? Or, you know, you're on my side of the fence and, you know, you go to a state park and, you know, you have the new young, you know, Green Ranger come up to you and they're, you know, asking you the question, you know, what are you doing? And then all of a sudden it becomes this, you need a permit that costs you $500 to, you know, activate a park on and so forth and so on. So, you know, we kind of got thinking, you know, what do you say in those scenarios? What do you do? How does that kind of play out? So we're going to tear into the nuts and bolts a little bit tonight. And talk about, you know, how do you deal with the TSA? How do you deal with the park ranger? You know, what are some tips and tricks? What did you bring? How did you work around certain scenarios? And kind of just, you know, share a little bit, hopefully with the intention to get, you know, you guys, the listeners, you know, a little bit of a leg up when you decide to, you know, run it, or you happen to run into those scenarios, because we all do in some form or fashion. But, you know, as a way to kind of even, you know, continue this on, we'd love to hear what stories you guys have run into. That'd be the coolest, you know, that'd be the coolest thing to share. So, but anyway, before we kind of get too far ahead of us, so let's kind of talk a little bit, because Todd, you had mentioned in a previous podcast, you know, your experiences with the TSA. Let's kind of start there and, you know, kind of flush that out a little bit. Maybe you can kind of share what you had for an experience with the TSA and, you know, what you ended up doing to work around it, or what, you know, scenario kind of played out. And then, you know, we kind of break down the nuts and bolts and, you know, Ryan, or, you know, I can interject with, you know, some of our experiences and see if we can put together a better plan of, you know, what we need to think about when we, you know, we start to fly with our radio equipment.
Well, what I can tell you is it's never the same. TSA is not a very consistent agency, and it's kind of like I try to guess when I'm waiting in line, like, which one are they going to go after this time? So I've had everything checked. I have my battery checked numerous times. My suggestion on that is when you bring your battery, make sure it's labeled. It has all the wattage or whatever, you know, all the information on it. And then I would either print out or take a screenshot or make a PDF of their own rules from their book showing that you can carry this battery on the plane. That works, because most of these guys that are in there don't know, and they have to go check, and then they want to bring it to the airline and you're sitting there for 10 minutes. Now, other times I've gone through, they don't check anything. Different airports, they want to check everything. Manchester, New Hampshire, they don't want to, all right now, they basically, the only thing they always check is the battery. And one of the biggest things that I have in my bag is a throw weight. And I only use that for when there's super windy, to keep the tripod from tipping over. I hang it down the middle. But when that goes through the scanner, it just shows like a really dense blob. And when I tell them it's just a throw weight and I use it, and they look at it and they feel it, they're like, oh yeah, no problem, you can go. So it's hit or miss. My suggestion and what I do is I put everything in one bag, and it's in one backpack. It's very easy. I open it up, I lay it all out, I let them know. And I think the more upfront you are about it and you let them know what's going on, the easier it'll probably be. If you try to like hide the battery or don't pull it out, like, even though they say you don't have to pull it out, I just pull it out anyway. And you get through it. It doesn't take too much time. And one of the hardest times when I was in Manchester, it was actually a ham. He told me it was a ham, and I was like, oh, this is going to be easy, right? And like, oh no, he went through everything, went through the antenna. I think he was just checking out my stuff to see what he might want to buy. But I was like, dude, I got to get on a plane. Like, come on.
Yeah, maybe he's a ham because of all the stuff they've confiscated along the way. Yeah, and he's like, yeah, what do we do with all this stuff? I know what to do with it.
Yeah, but I mean, it can be a pain. But like I said, don't have your ham stuff like packed throughout. If you have multiple bags and different, but just put it all in one area, and that way they can just focus on that. And it's always good to have their own writings and rules out, you know, available, because they don't have that with them. And a lot of these guys, you know, they're looking for things, and if they don't know what it is, they're like, oh, you know, what is this? Like, the guy's just like, what is this? I'm like, oh, that's a bean bag.
Yeah. Todd, are you downloading their manual or their guidance from TSA.gov?
Yeah. So if you go on TSA.gov, and they've got all kinds of rules, what you can bring, and you can go deep into it. And one of them is you know, lithium batteries or whatever, and what you can bring. And then it tells you the maximum size, the amp hours, and all that kind of stuff. So if you have that, and they start looking at the battery, and they all look around, I look for supervisor, they don't know, I just hand it to them. I said, listen, these are your rules that I printed out last night. So what? And then they're like, oh. And then they just, okay, great, thanks. Yeah. It's pretty easy.
I'm curious, Todd, do you have the article or something that also talks about the difference between a lithium iron and a lithium iron phosphate batteries?
I don't. I just pulled, I pulled the information from my battery that I was always using. You know, because the battery I have is kind of bulky, and it kind of looks like, you know, it's got wires hanging out of it. I mean, I think if you didn't know what it was, you'd think it was like something like a bomb or something. So I can see.
Yeah. So for historically, like my training at work, the thermal runaways on the older lithium iron batteries have been, you know, they're volatile or have the possibility of being volatile.
Right.
But the lithium iron phosphates, the new BioNO and everything that we're using for ham radio, those are very stable.
Right.
But if, you know, if I was to say to a TSA agent checking the battery, yeah, it's a lithium battery, they instantly are going to think the older lithium iron.
Right. And they're going to think like my model airplane batteries that, correct. You know, if you bang them the wrong way.
Laptop battery or whatever.
Right. So. Yeah. Well, one of the, that's why I said, the lithium, the BioNO battery that I have, it's got all the labels on it, and it explains exactly what it is. And when they've taken it, they've just run that. I'm sure they have like a computer program. They run that information through. And I mean, I think the longest I've had to wait was 10 minutes. Most of the time, the guy pulls you aside like he does any other bag. He looks at it and like, but you know, I've had everything. I've had the antenna checked, like the battery and the beanbag get through okay. But they're like, well, what's this? I'm like, oh, that's an antenna. And he's like, really? And I'm like, yep. And I pull out the whip and I stretch it out. I said, see, it's just an antenna. Yeah. They're like, oh, okay, okay. Yeah, you're good, you're good.
It's funny, because around the battery subject, I can't remember if I saw it in the Facebook group or I saw it on Discord. I guess somebody had a BioNO battery, but what ended up happening was the shrink wraps, because of all getting beat up in the bag, got all like torn and whatnot, so they lapped electrical tape around it. And so when they went through the TSA the next time, as Ryan, you know, you can see Ryan already thinking, you know, hey, that's got to be, you know, a hack job there. So my advice is make sure your battery's well shrink wrapped and not, you know, frayed edges and, you know, kind of, you know, giving off that vibe of like homemade, you know, you don't want that. So, you know, he did get by it with a, you know, quick test and a, you know, proof that it worked, but, you know, he was always, you know, getting tagged for it, which is, you know, I'm finding looking at some of my batteries, I've got like, oh, I got to go back and shrink wrap that again and make that worthwhile. Although you had mentioned earlier, Todd, that, you know, some of your batteries, you were thinking of going to smaller size.
Yeah. Just for the bulkiness of it, you know, when you I've been using this little, I bought a bigger bag now that I have everything in, but when I travel, I don't check bags, so you know, I can bring one roller bag and then I can bring one backpack. Well, with my POTA bag now, it's pretty packed, like it probably won't fit under the seat because it's so filled out. So with that, what I would normally do is I would take like the antenna and the pouches out, because they don't typically look and put it right on the top of the or in the front pouch of my roller bag or whatever. That way, if they really want to look at that, that's easy access. But it's really the battery and the radio that you want to have in the same compartment. So like I said, it's not too bad. It's, you know, I think the hardest thing is that it's so heavy. I mean, you have it on your backpack and, you know, you're roaming through terminals. You don't realize how heavy that stuff is. If you have to walk like, you know, half the terminal, you know, some of those, like I go to Charlotte and Charlotte's pretty big airport. And, you know, I always come in on like E7 and I got to go to like E58, you know, so it's like, you got a long way to go. So now, but anyway, I mean, that's just the way it is.
Now, have you, like, in terms of like your experiences with them, have you found that you've had to, you know, back down from your conversations with them, or you've been like, what's your kind of approach when they start questioning some of your stuff? I mean, are you more open with it? Do you kind of just give them, you know, the one-liners, or, you know, kind of what's that look like?
Yeah, no, those guys are, they take a lot of abuse by people. You know, I've just observed them. I mean, people give them and the attitudes and everything. I just go in there and I say, hey, I got a ham radio in here with a battery and antennas. I said, what do you want me to do? Now, Manchester, you don't have to take anything out. They've got the latest technology where you just shove your bag through. And if they want to see something, then they'll pull it out. Where most other airports, you got to take out your laptops, your iPads. And so I take out the radio and all that stuff and lay it all out. But yeah, I always give them the heads up, tell them what it is, where it is. And if they have any questions, and, you know, it's the best approach, because like I said, they're just doing their job and they're trying to keep everyone safe. I think if you go in there and you don't say anything, or you're kind of quiet about it and you start looking suspicious, you know, you might get caught up. So I'm just straight up with them. I ask them what they want me to do. And most of the time they just said, run it through. And like I said, I don't think I've ever had the radio actually get checked, mm-hmm. like as something, but I have had the beanbag a couple times, the battery a lot. And I had one time the antenna. But when I've never had two things checked. So I've never had like the battery and the antenna, or the battery in the beanbag. And I leave the beanbag in my my battery or my antenna package for the buddy pole. It's like a flip over kind of bag thing. Mm-hmm. And I just forget to take it out because I really don't need it. But I was like, oh, I brought that stupid thing again. so now I just might just take that out and throw that, like, on the, when I go to Manchester, just throw it in with my, like, my shoes or whatever.
Now, you're using the beanbag, what, for a counterweight for the buddy pole, or?
Yeah, so if it gets, like, super windy, like, if it's a windy day, there's a little screw on the bottom of the tripod that you can put in. And then what I do is I just hook it with a carabiner and on a string, and it just hangs down. And it just keeps it a little bit more steady. I've only used it a few times, but I've activated when it's been pretty windy, and that thing is pretty light, and, you know, it can easily get blown over. So that just gives it a little bit of weight to it.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. I was like, are you like also packing a wire antenna too? Cause you know, that's where you,
well, I have a wire antenna in there. I don't have any, I got to get some throw line cause I don't have the throw line for it, but I do have that, that little, NFED antenna that I have as my backup. But, it's all right. I mean, it's a nuisance, but you know, I just did get a TSA pre, so I haven't gone through yet with my ham stuff. So I want to see if that makes a difference. Okay. But I've been getting tired of taking off my belts and my shoes and waiting in long lines. So I sucked it up. I paid the $78 and hopefully when I go, I'm not going away this month, but next month, I think I'm going back down to Mississippi. So I'll have the TSA pre number and we'll see how that goes.
Okay. Any parting words you want to mention, Ryan, or whatnot? Really, I mean, it sounds like you pretty much covered it.
Yeah, no, I think the golden piece of advice there is being up front and having that documentation ready to go. You know, that goes a long way.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then they know you're being proactive, and most of them want to talk about ham radio. Oh, I've heard about that. Yeah, you do that. Like, people still do that, and you can start the conversation. And
yeah,
cool. Yeah.
So
be an ambassador, as they say, and hopefully that'll pay off in spades.
Start whipping out my cards, using my dot here. Scan this.
Yep. Yeah. I think my experience with TSA in, what was it, Florida that we went to, that was my first experience. They, the same experience that you had going through Manchester, no problems. They kind of pulled me over the side and was going through some of the equipment, but they ended up stopping my wife, and she had no ham radio equipment, and they drilled her hard because of all the stuff she had in the bag of, like, not abiding by the, you know, size of, you know, shampoo and that type of stuff, but whatever. Yep. But you know, when I think most of my experience with these with Florida, they kind of push us through fast, because I think TSA, when they find that their lines are getting really, really long, they just get panicked because they don't like to have to, like, wait, have people wait around. So they really just, you know, pushed me through pretty quickly and realized, you know, hey, this is, you know, some electronic gear, not really to worry about it. So I think the hardest part was trying to find 2 seconds to be able to put it all back in the bag the right way, so it doesn't, like, get all beat up and whatever, because I think that's when I had the plastic rails on my 891, and those things got broke, you know, by the time I brought them back from Florida. So ended up going metal. So that would be my other thing, is just make sure your equipment's in really good, you know, padded cases, or, you know, in a place that you know, it could take a little bit of a beating, because it will take a beating when it goes through either TSA or just in the plane, or when you're carrying it around, or when you have to repack your bag, because they may take apart your bag, and, you know, you just got to kind of go with it, like Todd said. But, you know, be open and honest and upfront. I think you'll be good. So, yeah. So this kind of brings us to the next phase of my, you know, our discussion here, is kind of talking around POTA activations, primarily with park rangers. We've all had some experience. You know, Ryan's just starting to get into or building his activation set up there. So, you know, he'll eventually get a chance to, you know, learn from all of our, you know, screw ups and you know, conversations, and be able to thwart a lot of that. But I've had maybe two experiences, I think, in my book around, you know, dealing with park rangers. And so I'm happy to share kind of what I have in there. But, you know, I mean, Todd, you had a similar experience with another park ranger. Was that correct? Or you've had conversations around that or not? I can't remember if you said you had.
Yeah, I've met a lot of park rangers, you know, especially when I'm down south. You know, you drive, they're always at the gate, and they, you know, want your money or whatever. It's really cheap down south. It's like $1, $2. It's kind of stupid. I normally just give them $5. Be like, yeah, keep the change. Nice. But anyway, I tell them what I'm doing. There was a park down in Florida that I really liked, had the alligator and, you know, all that good stuff. And it had great, it was one of, I think it's the one I got like 156 contacts on. And that guy knew, the park ranger knew what I was doing. I told him, I'm doing some ham radio. He goes, oh, yeah, those guys are here all the time. And he showed me on the map where to go and where to set up. And nice. And then other people are, you know, they're interested when you tell them what you're doing. And, you know, I just basically tell them, I invite them down to come hang out if they want and try it if they want. So they normally you know, they get curious. And then, you know, so maybe an hour into it, you know, they'll slowly walk by and check out what you're doing. But I haven't had any negative. I haven't had any issues where they said you need a permit or anything. I did have one guy say that I'm not allowed to throw any wires up into the trees and the wildlife, but I told him I had a tripod. And one of them, when I was in Port St. Lucie, the guy even showed me where there's a power plugs. He goes, oh, you can plug in too if you want. Wow. I was like, well, that's a first. But I, you know, I have my batteries and stuff, and I just go about my day and do it.
Cool. Yeah, I think my side of the experience been a little different. Not terribly bad. Never, you know, anything that I'd walk away from thinking, man, I should have just, you know, not let my mouth, you know, foot inserted in my mouth type thing. But my experience, I think my first experience was actually a little bit of shock because I had already had a couple of parks under my belt. So, and I seen park rangers that have driven by and kind of like give that little glance, and they just, you know, they kind of go on about doing their own thing and don't really care. This one was in New Hampshire. I can't remember the park number, but it's the dam in Ware. And I was like, all right, the way to get to majority of the park is either down in the valley, and Todd and I activated that one without too much problem, or you could walk across the dam to the other side, which is kind of like surrounded by granite on one side, and then it overlooks the rest of the valley and the dam, and it's got a gazebo there, and you can't drive out there. You just walk and you know, basically walk back over the dam. Well, I hiked it all the way down there. Nobody was down there, set all up in the gazebo area, you know, with my Wolf River Coil, and put all the radials out. And, you know, I could see off of the top of the distance, the little dam tower, two little park rangers, very young, come out. And when I saw that, the first thing in my mind was like, oh, where did I put those flyers that I put together about explaining what parks on the air is? Because I know, first and foremost, they're going to be asking me questions when I'm in the middle of a pileup, and I'm going to get annoyed because I'm like trying to work a pileup, and I'm not going to want to break the pileup to, you know, answer the questions. So, I kind of pulled those out, figured out where I had tucked them away. And then when they showed up, they kind of pulled up and they kind of did the peripheral drive around a little bit to kind of get the lay of the land to see what really was going on. And then they stopped and they got out of their trucks, and they were pretty friendly. Conversations for me, you know, were like, hey, you know, what are you doing? And it's like, oh, well, I started out, you know, my first response was like, oh, I'm doing ham radio. And then, you know, that always leads to, you're doing who, what, you know, what's ham radio, you know, for those that might not understand what that was. And, And so, you know, I kind of had the flyers, and one of the second, you know, park ranger was busy reading while this one was just kind of asking pepper me questions. And my experience with it was pretty much, you know, answering all the stuff, being very pleasant with the process, you know, letting him know what was going on, you know, that I wasn't interfering and I wasn't doing anything maliciously to destroy the park or any, you know, reference there. And of course, you know, right in the middle while I'm trying to show him what ham radio is with the contacts, the bands are like quiet. And I'm like, I can't demonstrate to him that, yeah, hey, I'm making contacts with people. I'm not here trying to do analysis of bird migrations through, you know, radiography or something like that. And so, you know, it got to the point where, you know, everything was closing off and then, you know, he was going to drive away. But then he handed me one of his flyers. He's like, well, I'm not going to dock you now, but I think you need a special use permit for this. And I'm like, a special use permit? What's that? And he's like, oh, it's about $100 use permit to be able to do run, you know, activities related because you're, you know, a commercial and non-commercial company. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll read that next time and I'll talk to, you know, the New Hampshire, you know, forestry, you know, organization to find out more details on that. But he wasn't willing to slap any fines on me or give me any hard time. But, you know, I kind of learned from that. And so my next, you know, kind of, you know, few experiences were with mostly park rangers of state beaches. So a lot of them just, you know, want to make sure that you're not, you know, again, destroying the seacoast line and you're not, you know, setting antennas up on the dunes where birds are migrating and that sort of deal. But those guys were pretty, you know, they knew, like you said, Todd, they knew what was going on. They knew they had other ham radio operators there activating. And, you know, they were very pleasant to say, you know, don't obviously go over, you know, if you go to Salisbury State Park, there's a nice campground area over there. They're like, stay away from those people. They, you know, they obviously don't want you, you know, hanging out over there in the campsites. But, you know, for overall, it was a good experience, and like Todd shared and whatnot. As long as and Ryan, you know, basically made a point was that, you know, as long as you're up front and you're courteous and you know you're pleasant and you're there to you know educate, but at the same time understand and you know get with them to you know be on the same level, then you know I think your experience will be that much better.
So I'm curious that special use permit, was that a one-time fee or annual fee? No, or
one time, $110. $110. I'm like,
wow.
Wow, that would be the expensivest activation I think I'd ever have.
Yeah. Well, did you follow up with more info?
No, I actually did not, sadly. I don't think I would have. I think the flyer I looked at had more information and I went up to the website and the website had no reference to it. I'm just like, well, then if they're not going to update their documentation, then I can say I never got anything that was updated. So.
Well. You emphasize that we're amateur radio, not commercial.
Yeah. That, yeah, right. That perfect. Yeah. Well, good point. Yeah, totally. You know.
Well, a lot of these park rangers, you know, I've showed a couple of them. I said, yeah, you know, you're on the website. And they're like, what website? And I'll bring up the POTA app and I'll bring up their park and it has their website on it. And I'll, like, they're, you know, and I'm like, see, I'm like, this is like, you guys should know about this. Yeah. And like, we don't know anything about it. So, I mean, that's something that maybe, I mean, I know like Parks on the Air has done a great job. Those guys that are running it, you know, they just, everything is just getting better and better. The uploads, the automatic uploads, it's working really smoothly. But I think as it grows, you know, it might be something down the road, or maybe what we can do when we activate is maybe educate the park rangers and say, hey, your park is a park on the air. Here's the program. Hand them the information and let them know why all of a sudden there might be some amateur radio people coming to their park.
Right.
Because I'm sure before that, there probably wasn't a lot of people showing up to all these parks trying to activate them. So
nevertheless, they were, but they were toting antennas and radios and, you know, right. Full setups and whatnot. Yeah. It's funny because like there's a group in Florida that I bumped into. Actually, when I went to Florida, those were the first people I reached out to find out what park I should activate on when I went down for spring training for my son's college baseball. And they reached out. They're like, oh yeah, you have to come to one of our meetups. And we meet like literally once a week at this park every Saturday. And of course, timing wise, it didn't work out, but they were like, yeah, you know, talk to this park ranger because he knows very much about our program. He's willing to, you know, he's related up to corporate and you know, they are aware and they have all the information. So I think that's probably a good example to kind of say, you know, if you can get in good with a park ranger and you can start to build a relationship, that may be a way to be able to kind of funnel more, because actually, Purgatory Chasm, I think in Mass is a good example of that. I went I activated there when I had a job to do. And when I pulled up, the park rangers, there was three of them, literally all walked up to me, said, oh, you know, hey, this is a great place, but if you really want to get better contacts, or, you know, we found that, you know, the couple other, you know, hams that we talk to all the time that just come here all the time, and they knew their call signs, they were like, yep, you know, just, you know, stay away from the public trails. They were super helpful, like the one that talked to you in Mississippi. And, you know, but that was because someone forged a, you know, a relationship with the park along the way and got them, you know, understanding. So that may be a kind of a step for us here in, you know, our, you know, section of the world to just kind of reach out to that community and say, hey, you know, we are here, like you said, Todd, and do something.
Yeah, it's like I said, I think being an ambassador and then educating and then just being cool. And like I always invite them to come down and see what I'm doing. And some of them do, some of them don't, some of them watch. One of the park rangers came up to me when I was working the Cape Cod Rail Trail, which is like, it goes all through Cape Cod, so you can hit it basically anywhere. And he was an older gentleman. He came out and goes, what are you doing? I'm like, park's on the air. And I had one of those flyers and he read it. He goes, that's really cool. He goes, I'm like, yeah, I mean, you want to try? He goes, no, I'm on duty, you know, but have fun. So listen, like, you know, but I think, you know, if you're not familiar with it or you don't do this, I mean, all of a sudden you see a guy start setting up antennas and radios and, you know, start talking. You're like, what is this guy doing? You know, yeah. And then you get the wise ass comments about like, oh, are you contacting aliens? You yeah. know, yeah, yep, that's what I'm doing. I just talked to Mork from Mork.
Well, let's back. I'm giving out free tinfoil hats.
Yeah. ET's on 20 meters. You want to talk to him?
Yeah, we got to get Ryan activating on some of his excursions there once he remembers he's got power cords and stuff like that around. Yes. So, you know, we could get your firsthand experiences with some of your, because you got some good spots that, you know, you could easily, you know, find. I'm sure there's tons of local parks.
Absolutely. So
we'll have to put him on the
hill. It will happen soon.
So, yeah, anything to wrap up? I mean, obviously, I think we touched on some really good points here. And overall, I think the message tonight is, you know, being courteous, pretty much kind of being the best Boy Scout you can and ambassador to, you know, the parks on the air program to, you know, no matter whether you're interfacing with public or, you know, the actual park rangers or even TSA for that matter, because you never know, you know, who you could be making the next TAM possibly, or just, you know, educating them on something that, you know, they just have no, you know, no understanding of, which would be, you know, good.
Yeah. So, TSA.gov is pretty straightforward to grab some stuff when you're traveling through the airlines. But if, I guess, we were to create a packet of information, would you go on a POTA.app to find, does the POTA website have information, or would you go to the state park government website? Where do you start going to gather information?
Well, my experience is both of those locations, more so now with the POTA website than it was in the past. The POTA website went through a huge architecture, like Todd mentioned, of being able to kind of consolidate stuff. So, you know, if you want to like go to a certain park or a certain area, there's always links to like the government sites and more references there for kind of how the behaviors are at the park, whatnot you can do and can not do. But the TSA websites, I mean, anything governmental is, you know, kind of one of those things that, you know, I would say go to the direct resources to get like the basic stuff, like, you know, batteries, you know, how big things can be, size of suitcases, that stuff, and then kind of plan accordingly to that. And then the experiences from other guys, I mean, the Discord for POTA is a great place. I gleam a lot of that stuff. The Facebook page is another one, posting that stuff out there. Hey, saying, hey, I'm going on the next trip. There'll be like 500 people to say, hey, you know, this is my experience and, you know, give this a shot if this, you know, if you've got this type of equipment or whatever.
Okay. Very cool.
But I would say if you know of some insider baseball stuff from the TSA, since, you know, you know, you've been with the airlines and, you know, the airlines, you know, those references we'll throw down in the show notes there to share with folks so you can refer back to that.
He's in another class. He gets to skip all that.
Yeah, he does.
He doesn't do terminals.
Well, yeah, we do know when he does. So, you know, we hear it a lot. Yep. So
worst part by the job. Yeah.
So I would say, you know, if you got a, you know, any of those references, we'll definitely make sure we got them into the show notes and you can pull from there. But like Todd said, the POTA website's a really good reference for the first time. I think they've got a slew of stuff on what to pay attention to and how to, you know, treat, you know, like, I think the biggest thing and I'm finding more and more YouTubers posting videos on them is the actual national parks, because those parks, you really have to play by their rules. Otherwise they will like haul you out in cuffs type thing, because they are very sticklers about where you can and where you can't activate and how and what. And so like, I know, Kyle A0Z had done a video a while back, like a couple of years ago, where he did a activation at the National Monument down in Washington, D.C. And you can't obviously do it by the reflecting pool or any of the, you know, main, you know, statues and stuff like that. And so he was all kind of off to the side and very stealthy in his, you know, attempt. But, you know, there's that type of stuff. So,
and also I'd assume, you know, the type of equipment you bring makes a big difference. You know, I would assume some park rangers don't want you, you know, staking in on the grass versus just a clamp on a table.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, that type of example that, you know, leave no trace.
Yeah, totally. So, that's the perfect example of that, you know, because that you think putting a hole in the ground wouldn't be a big thing, but to a park ranger, that's like piercing like their heart, you know, it's like one of those things, or hanging stuff in the trees. That's a super big no-no. I know for a few things.
Yeah.
But
that's why, I mean, the Buddy Pole Pro is, to me, and I'll say it again and again, it is got to be the best antenna for parks on the air when you're traveling, because it's so compact. It comes with the, tripod, basically everything. And what I use for my raised, it has one counterpoise and it's a raised counterpoise. I just bring a carabiner and I clip it to my bag, the handle to my bag, and I can
your suitcase.
Yeah, my suitcase. I mean, it looks stupid. People are like, what's this guy doing? He's dragging his suitcase out to the beach.
Yeah.
But you know, when I'm here, you know, I have one of those spikes, you know, with the for the electric fences that you get at Home Depot, but you can't bring that on a plane. So
yeah, that's actually a good tip, because
you have to improvise. Yeah, don't bring your
spike.
Yeah,
don't bring your K-Murder death spike, you know, to the, you know, your trip next week. You know, that's a big no-no for sure. You'll definitely have it confiscated. But
yeah. And you know, and when I leave, and you know, you guys all know when you leave, you don't even know I was there. Like there's no, it's like it just disappeared. Like I had never been there. So it's been fun. I mean, it's definitely, the more I do it, the better I get at it. As usual, you kind of get the things down. I've really learned the Buddy Pole Pro. I've really learned how to tune it pretty quickly. Based on experience, I have noticed like, moving the counterpoise in or out a little bit. Sometimes it needs to be a little bit farther in from the notch. Sometimes it has to be out. Sometimes raising or lowering the whip, even though it says to be fully extended, sometimes knocking it down a little bit, you'll get a little bit better. So, but I've been pretty lucky and we making contacts.
If we keep talking about the Buddy Pole Pro, Todd, we're gonna have to like eventually get a sponsorship, because
they should. I love them.
Affiliate marketing somehow, somewhere. With Buddy Pole, you're listening.
Love that antenna.
Well, part of building my Poto setup is I followed Eric's lead and I picked up a Buddy Pole Power Mini 2.
I love that thing.
I'm going to, I still need to get a small folding solar panel.
I love it so much that I haven't even taken it out of the box. That's how much I love it. It's like, like, it's funny. It's like, I got into that. We could talk solar for hours, but I bought it and I put it on the side. I'm like, I'm going to use this, and bought the solar panel. I have never used it. It's sat over in the corner. And I'm like, I'm going to build a battery box and I'm going to put it in that. And I'm like, yep, not going to happen. So until, you know, I get more intense, I guess, with, you know, my activations being less than an hour and not having, you know, an opportunity to charge batteries all the time, I might have to, you know, open that Pandora's box a bit. So
that's on my to-do list to buy, or my wish list to buy is that for when I get the solar panels for field day. So I'll be using that. And I mean, it's a great company, and I like I said, it's really my first antenna, but I know that you know, when we were doing your hex beam, which is another great antenna, and it failed, or we couldn't get it, they sent the wrong length or something after we spent like an hour trying to set the thing up for the first time.
Yep.
Oh, well, we got to activate. So the Buddy Pole Pro came to the rescue. We set it up in 5 minutes and we were activating. So
funny and long, you know, hindsight is 2020. We could have just worked that antenna without that element. It would have worked just fine. But that was only after the fact when I realized it. So all of our work of tearing it up and setting it up was so sort of like putting up Christmas like in July and, you know, not leaving it up until, you know, December. So yeah. Cool. All right. Well, you know, go ahead, Doug. You had a...
No, I was just going to say that antenna was awesome on field day. It's another one. I mean, I've only had
you made three contacts on it with no power.
Yeah, exactly. With no power, I made three contacts. So it has to say it's got to be the antenna, right?
3 dB, man. 3 dB.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, so kind of to wrap this up a little bit and put a nice big bow on it, I think you know, overall, you know, if you haven't already, or you're a pretty good, you know, you're an avid activator, or you've gone through, you know, I mean, not so much TSA. The TSA part is more about just building relationships, especially if you go through a lot of airports often, to, you know, to be transparent as much as you can. But I think the big takeaway for a lot of the POTA piece of it, and when you're activating, is, you know, start to build more relationships with the park rangers and the people that, you know, serve you, with the intention that, you know, you can serve them back by, you know, educating them and, you know, keeping them more informed. So, you know, you kind of pave the way for future activators to come on board and not to have to, you know, we'll say, get hustled around to, you know, get their setups going and, you know, their experience a little, you know, more challenging. Let's just try to smooth that path out a little bit, and let's try to, you know, make this community a little bit better. And I'm going to hope, you know, as we start to get into the fall season, which is my best, you know, best time of year to go out and activate, that, you know, we'll be able to do a lot more of those relationships and build some good connections with, you know, a lot of the park rangers that we come in contact with and go from there. So.
Very cool.
Cool. All right. Well, hey, so let's kind of put an end to this one here. It was definitely a good conversation. Hopefully you learned some stuff from our experiences. If you happen to have your own story about your TSA experience or a park ranger, and you want to share it with us, you can always head over to our Discord. You can comment on our website. Or even comment, directly to us via email. But and we'd love to hear, you know, your feedback, because you know, we're here for you guys, and we want to be able to share and grow. So if we can, you know, pass that information on or pass on some nuggets of truth, we'll definitely do so. And so as always, you know, thanks for joining Live Free and Ham Podcast community. Remember, if you haven't subscribed, you can connect with the show always by giving us a review on iTunes or through our website. You can connect with us on social media and stay in contact with our latest information, shows, and contact. You can always support our show through our Patreon or buy us a beer links. And those are always in our show notes and our website, as every little bit helps us continue to build the show and be able to offer you know, more content and opportunities to be able to do, you know, future meetups and other things, you know, to promote Live Free and Ham and ham radio in New England. And then always, if you want to contact any of our hosts, all the contact information for all of us can be found on livefreeandham.com. And I'd just like to say thanks again for listening, and for all of us at Live Free and Ham, 7-3.